Welcome back to this third hour of the KFPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Saturdays, 5 to 8, KFPK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. First of all, Rob Reiner's phone number to book a trip is area code 5305. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Give me a second here. Don't go away. 530-632-0051. And he'll be fishing as many times as he can in the next week, which is just about what we have left in the late fall run salmon season. And I'll tell you, it's been a pretty good late fall run. There have been a lot of fish caught, and there are going to be more fish caught. I think this storm is going to bring in more fish. So I wouldn't dilly-dally. These are big, beautiful, bright, fresh salmon that come from cold water, and now that the Sacramento River is just as cold as the ocean. So they're going to be fresh, good eating, okay? And don't forget, again, this is very important. The political forces in this state are trying to blame striped bass for the lack of salmon. We all know that's not correct. There's no scientific evidence to back it up. The only people that would ever believe anything like that are politicians, and that's who they've convinced. And if the Fish and Game Commission takes away protections for striped bass in this coming Wednesday's meeting, you can just about kiss the striper goodbye as we know it today. And why? So a few big corporate farmers can make more money. Do not let this happen. You need to show some support by attending the meeting. It's right here in Sacramento. It's at the Resources Building, 1416 9th Street. It's in the auditorium. It's Wednesday at 9:30. It's important you show up. If you care about stripers, you better show up. Because if they do away with the protections, you won't be able to say anything. You had a chance to do something, you didn't do it. So this was that one time. One time. Okay. Where are we going? Clear Lake. You know, every year, and I'm sure Don Paganelli, who will be on in about 10 minutes, will verify this, because he plans a few days every year over at Clear Lake, because the jumbo minnow bite gets going for big black bass. And it's happening right now. I talked to Bill McDaniel of Limit Out Bait and Tackle in Clear Lake Oaks yesterday. Bill, I got a little wind of the minnow bite, the jumbo minnow bite, starting about a week ago, or a little bit more than that, actually. But it doesn't take long for word to get around. So let's get right to it. How's the fishing using the jumbo minnows?
It is absolutely excellent. They're slaying them with it. I mean, they're just doing really well. I ordered a ton. I just got mine in Wednesday, and I ordered like, 70 dozen or something like that, you know, so, because it is on fire. A friend of mine, he's a local guide here, he took out a client, and they got 50. I mean, they
50
got
bass?
50 bass, like 52 or 51, but I'm just rounding it down. No super big ones. I think their biggest was a 6, but, you know, I mean, they had fun. They caught a ton of fish, obviously, and I'm hearing it from others as well. They're just the minnow bites on fire at Clear Lake, that's for sure.
Well, that's just fun.
Yeah,
I mean,
who doesn't like
catching fish on minnows?
Yeah, I know. I remember doing it when I was a kid, which was, you know, a century ago, so...
Well, you know, let's dig into this a little bit. You know, this minnow bite, of course, it depends on how good the fish is, on where you are. So let's talk depth here first. Is there a range that you should keep in between?
Well, you know, it appears that they're getting them anywhere, mostly kind of deep. And I heard even as deep as 40 feet. So for a clear lake, that's, as you know, that's deep.
Very
so,
deep.
Yeah, very deep. That's, you know, deep. But you know, they mostly, I think, around the 25, 30-foot range, and then occasionally up in close. It seems like the bigger ones are deeper, the smaller ones are in a little closer. So.
But even 25 and 30 feet is deep for Clear Lake.
I know it is. Absolutely. But that seems to be what they're telling me, and I guess a couple of guys I was talking to, because there's a number of ways to fish them, as you know, and they're nose hooking them on a drop shot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can dorsal under the dorsal fin. There's, you know, on a split
yeah.
shot,
uh-huh.
or there's different. But the guys I've been talking to just recently, that's how they've been doing it. To get it straight down, rather than casting it out and doing all that, just, you know, flipping it out there, getting it down. And I know Scott and Larry, who worked for me, you know, used to work for Bob, the previous owner. They just went out and first both of them first cast, bang, they got hit. And they, of course, they won't tell me what secret spot they were at, but everybody knows them all. But.
Well, you know, I would just suggest maybe their raise is in the mail.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's,
you know,
good idea.
How often do we find these guys that go over in the winter? You know, they go over, they rent a house, or they stay with friends, and they're there for 2 or 3 days, and they buy, I don't know how many minnows, and they love it. But they may fish a bank that levels off at 15 feet deep, and they're sitting there and just slaying them. And now this is just a different year, I guess.
Yeah, well, don't get me wrong. 15 feet can work. 15 feet can work.
Yeah.
It just depends on what part of the lake, you know, et cetera. So that can totally happen. But I just know that some of these guys have been getting them down deep, and you know why I can't tell you, but so it's quite a range, actually.
What about any kind of structure? What are we looking for? Are we looking
rocks? Mostly off of rocks, from what I've been hearing. Mostly off of rocks. A couple of guys told me they were getting them off of deep docks, but away, not at the under the docks, but away out, you know, from the docks. So. So that's another possibility, but that's what's happening.
Well, that with Clear Lake, that limits it to about 2,000 spots on the lake, right?
Exactly. Yes. So exactly. Yeah. And I don't know anything about the very north end. It might be getting a little muddy up there, you know, by Rodman's Slough and
uh-huh.
stuff because of the rain, but. I know today, down here, I didn't get to see it, but Scotty went out, and it's clear. It's the water looks great right now. So
that's Bill McDaniel of Limit Out Bait and Tackle in Clear Lake Oaks, right on Highway 20. His number, 707-998-1006. Now, a dozen jumbo minnows will cost you $17. That's $1.42 each. Is it worth $1.42 for you to catch a 3 or 4 pound bass? Well, I'll tell you, it sure is a lot of fun to do that. And that drop shotting is a good idea. If you're fishing right under the boat in deeper water, why not? You got more control that way. So, anyway, I'll be anxious to see what Don Paganelli has to say. He's up next, but. Right now, I want to tell you about Foothill Firearms. You know, last Saturday, they had their Small Business Saturday sale where everything in the store was on sale. All the guns, all the new guns, used guns, and consigned guns. I think they sold something like 45 guns. You know, you don't sell 45 guns unless you got good guns to sell. You know, think of it like that. That was a combination of new, used, and consignment. And they welcome consignments. There's a lot of good guns out there that we wouldn't have access to if it wasn't for consignments, because how do you promote it, you know? Oh, come to my house and see my guns, and everybody knows your address, okay? including the crooks. So anyway, Foothill Firearms, that's what they specialize in, is the variety of firearms. They've got some great varmint rifles in there, new and used, with good optics, good scopes on them. They've got a whole variety of deer hunting rifles. They've got shotguns, every kind of shotgun imaginable. And they carry handguns, of course. So they really have it all. And they also make it a point, like, we're not going to inconvenience people any more than the Department of Justice already has by not informing people. And so they have carried as many different calibers of rifles as possible in non-lead. So you, 'cause you can't hunt anything in California with lead. You can't do it. Nothing. So they've got everything. I bought some 22 shells in there recently. I bought some 17 Hornady's in there, non-lead. I mean, I couldn't find them anywhere. I couldn't find 22 shells in non-lead. Foothill had them. And they'll order anything for you. I mean, Kevin, when you're in there, you want to order a gun. You want to order ammunition. He's writing it down and probably will have it ordered within 10 minutes of you leaving Foothill Firearms. I mean, they really are conscientious about this. Their prices are good to begin with. It's a good store. It's a good gun store. It's not this, well, you know what I mean. There's some gun stores that just don't have responsible people. This one does. It's easy to find. Up 80, go by the Newcastle exit. Take the next exit, which is exit 116. Curve around. You make a left on Taylor Road, just a couple blocks down on the left. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. They're open today. Give them a call, 916-663-9349. Foothill Firearms. Well, believe it or not, there is a Fishing in the City program today, and because the forecast, as usual, wasn't exactly right on the money, it may be a pretty good day to go out. And Don Paganelli joins us now to tell us about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
You hear me talking about Clear Lake Jumbo Minnow Bass?
I don't need to hear you talk about it to get my blood boiling.
Well, you go on a little mini vacation over there this year about this time.
Well, yeah, for New Year's, but I used to have a bunch of clients that like to go up there and do that, too. So that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's wide open right now. You can't miss, Don.
Well, that's feeding candy to a baby when you throw those jumbo shiners out there.
I know it. So today you're at Hagen Park. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. We're at Hagen Park here in Rancho Cordova. It's behind Cordova High School off of Coloma Road.
Uh-huh.
You just keep following the street down that you turn to come to the high school and just go past the high school and keep coming. It runs right into the park. And then you stay on that road in the park all the way to the end, and that's where the pond is.
Okay. What's the weather like there right now? What's the weather like there right now?
At the moment, it stopped raining at the moment, but we've been through a couple of different downpours. So people should expect to wear their rain gear,
yeah,
I would think, if they come out. With our clinics are all set up under canopies, and we have, there's a little bit of room for people to stand underneath them, but if you're coming out to this event, I would definitely be wearing rain gear, because we all are.
Okay.
It's just that kind of day.
But you do have a canopy for some people to stand under while you're giving your instructions, huh?
Yes. Yes, a little bit of an area to kind of stay out of it if it really starts to come down. But it is one of those days, and it's forecasted. It was forecasted to really be really bad. I drove through part of it on the way here with the wipers on full blast, but it kind of went by us a little bit, and we got a little port here where it just stopped raining. So we're hoping that we get a few people out. I mean, it's not usually a big crowd that we get when the weather's like this, but we're set up for everybody.
Okay.
Either way. And we put the trout in there yesterday, and we hope there's still some left. Because, as you know, there's still people that come out. The parks can only do so much to keep people from fishing.
Well, they've done a better job this year in kind of protecting that, haven't they?
No, they have. They put signs up, but it doesn't matter. They still come and fish, even though they have signs up to say no fishing. It's amazing. But they try. They try their best. And, you know, if we get more volunteers, which we hope to in the future, you know, we get more volunteers that come out to the program, it helps a lot. So anybody that wants to volunteer for the program is more than welcome to come out. You know, if they don't even have to know how to fish, we'll teach you.
Okay.
yeah, it's all about, you know, kids 5 to 15 years old is our group that we try to get out here and get them learned on fishing, and their parents learn at the same time, because we get a lot of people that, you know, the parents don't know how to fish either, but their kids want to learn because they have friends that are going fishing. And we get a lot of them that come out, a lot of families that come out that don't have a clue, and we put them through the whole thing, and we encourage the parents to help so that they can learn also.
Now, how long does one of your sessions last before they can go fish?
Well, we run them through. It's like 10 minutes. There's three different sections we run them through, and they're about 10 minutes apiece. And then we have the rod loan, where we loan out all the rods and reels and the bait and everything else. And it doesn't stop there, because we're there to help them even when they get out to the pond there and start fishing. We'll show them how to clean the fish if they need be, and we've got bags they can take their fish home. You know, they come out thinking that they have to throw them back, and we tell them, no, this is, you just made dinner.
So yeah. You just, or put it this way, at least you have a choice. You want to throw them back? Fine. If you want to keep them, you can do that too.
Oh, yeah. And there's always people here that would want them if they, you know, if they wanted, instead of throwing them back. Some of them are deep hooked, so they can't throw them back anyway.
But, yeah.
And we go through with our classes, we go through all about catch and release, if they want to do that, and how to handle fish if they want to release them. The type of gear that they need to use. We go through a lot of safety, fishing ethics. We try to cover as much as we can in as short amount of time as we can to get them out there and start fishing. So the program's evolved. So we've got, like I said, we've got three or four stations that we run them through along with casting. So we teach them how to cast. And it seems to be working out real well.
I have a question. Unrelated to the fishing in the city, why is it you don't go try jumbo minnows in Folsom in the winter?
It doesn't seem to be as successful as Clear Lake.
It just probably,
don't ask me why.
Fewer big fish, maybe, huh?
I'm not sure. I know that at Folsom, those fish go deeper. They have a lot more access to deep water up there in the wintertime than they do at Clear Lake. So the fish up at Clear Lake, they'll stay. I mean, they pretty much have to stay in about 20 to 25 feet of water. It's about as deep as they can go in a lot of those places. So when you're dragging the jumbo shiners, it's, you know, that's the idea.
Yeah, okay. I want to, before we run out of time, You finally committed. You've been talking about this for years. You got a new bass boat.
I did.
And you're chomping at the bit because you want to take it out and get some hours on it. But that means you're selling your old bass boat. And I've been in that a couple times now. That's a sweetheart little boat. Runs like a top. What do you want for it?
Well, I'm asking $95 for it.
Okay, and what is it?
The boat's, it's a Ranger 482V. It's got a 175 on it, Mercury. Obviously, the boat's I'm the original owner. I bought it brand new in 1995. So I've had it for going on 25 years.
Yeah.
The boat's probably has a few hours on it because I've been guiding out of it, but I take care of it, get serviced every year, whether it needs it or not.
Okay.
And like you said, it runs like a Swiss watch.
Yeah, it
so, does. Okay. Sometimes a little faster than you want it to go, but and I got to put 10 hours on the new one before I can start running people around. So I hope to have that done by next weekend.
Okay. Okay. Don, we're out of time, but have fun at fishing in the city. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Want to book a trip with Don? Here's his number, 916-502-3474. After the break, Pilot Peak. Welcome back. Welcome back. By the way, before I forget, I want you to know that with the sturgeon fishing being what it is down around Pittsburgh and that area, that Sacramento Pro Tackle on Northgate Boulevard got in some beautiful lamprey eel this week. And what they do is they get it all in fresh, then they vacuum seal it and freeze it so it's in prime shape. And then they just pulled out their roe that they got a couple weeks ago, and they vacuum sealed that and froze it. So they've got basically fresh, frozen, and vacuum sealed lamprey eel and roe for sturgeon fishing. Sacramento Pro Tackle. That's a good tip. Okay, we're going to talk about the Pyramid Lake cutthroats right now, and then we're going to talk to Robbie Dunham about how to catch fish at Comanche. But at Pilot Peak, well, I've been hearing about Glenn Lemon, who is a friend and an associate of Doug Ouellette. And Glenn does it all. He goes out in the boat. He trolls. He jigs. He fly fishes from the boat. He fly fishes from shore. I finally caught up with him last night. Glenn, first of all, I want to tell you how glad I am to talk to you, because Doug Ouellette's been talking about you for a couple of years, about how versatile you are in that lake. And here he is, a fly fisherman, and you're a fly fisherman and a troller and a jigger, whatever it takes to do to get those big cutthroats. Now we're in kind of a transition period where people are heading for the shoreline. But ask me this, answer me this, Glenn, can you still get them out trolling?
Absolutely. Like I said, trolling is very effective still. You'll have your slow spots in the day, and then you'll have your days where it picks up. Like I said, usually in the afternoon, the troll bite's better, as long as the weather will let you stay out.
Yeah, nothing like that afternoon breeze on Pyramid Lake.
Yeah, the washing machine effect.
Yeah, yeah. But, this year it seemed like the transition from deep water to shallower water was pretty dramatic. Like, guys are out there fishing 70 feet deep, 90 feet deep. The next thing I know, they're catching big fish at like 20 to 30 feet deep and even 40, which is like half the depth, if that.
Well, and that's the big thing. Usually after you get that first big turnover in either October or November, usually those fish will go into that 20 to 40-foot realm, and a lot of guys will keep targeting them. You get some out deep, but I find a lot of those bigger fish are chasing bait in 20 to 40 feet of water, and that's something I've seen through the years out there. So I'll go shallow up and catch some nice fish doing that.
Now, so it's basically it's a food thing, right, to those big fish?
It can be. Like I said, every year is a little different out there. This year, like I said, as soon as that turnover happened, those fish definitely moved in, because those fish were staying out and, you know, suspending at about 70 feet down.
Yeah.
So they might be in 120 feet of water, 70 feet down.
Yeah.
I try not to fish below 80 feet because, I want to protect the fish. I don't want to blow them up like balloons. So
yeah.
I try to keep myself at about, above 80.
Yeah. So when you're trolling deep, compared to now, where you might be trolling 20 to 40? Do you use different things?
I'll usually stick with the same thing, but it's so rare that I'll troll at 80 feet, even when, you know, there's times, even in the warmer times, like, you know, last June, for example, you know, everybody was starting to go back out into 70, 80 feet down. I was still trolling in 40 to 60 feet. And, you know, I find that the fish will find a comfort level and they'll come in and feed in those comfort levels.
Yeah. Now, so at 70 and 80 feet, what are you jigging?
That's generally early season. I like to jig, you know, P-line jigs at about 70, 80 feet.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then what do you like to use for trolling once you get shallower?
Trolling, you know, I like flat fishing off a lot. You can't go wrong with it. And, you know, guys been using it out there for 60, 70 years, however, you know, however long flat fish have been around out there. And, you know, don't fix it, you know, if it's not broken. And that's kind of my thing. And, you know, I'll stick with the frog patterns a lot of times. You know, sometimes I'll run some pearl whites, sometimes black. Sometimes black can be very good certain times of the year.
Now, you also fly fish. Do you fly fish mostly from the shore, or do you continue to do that from your boat?
I do both. I do both, you know, shore and boat. You know, boats, sometimes you can get out into some of the water that isn't is fished as heavily, and they can be very, very good. It also depends on weather.
So, but you can fly fish, and talking to Doug, he goes out, I think, and it's sometimes with you, where they're actually using shooting heads and wading and everything and fishing down to maybe 30, 35 feet deep.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that can be effective. Right now, it's not necessary, but, it can be done. If the fish are sitting a little deeper, absolutely.
Yeah. Would you say now that the majority of fish are thinking real seriously about hugging that shoreline?
Well, they do. Parts of the day they do. When it's usually you'll get them, the old saying out there is first light, last light. You'll get a lot of the fish early, and then you'll get kind of a slow spot, you know, from, you know, after sunrise to, you know, about 1 o'clock, and then the water warms up. And then I find those fish, you know, 1, 2 o'clock to dark will usually come in and run a little closer. But there's parts of the day where they like to stick out a little deeper.
That's Glenn Lemon of Pilot Peak Guide Service. Now, Glenn, this fall, since it's open October 1st, has got his clients 3 cutthroats over 20 pounds plus a 19-pounder. That man knows his stuff. Here's his number to book a trip, 775-622-5678. Or you can book him through Doug Ouellette, too. It doesn't cost you anything different. They all work together, okay? And we'll, I think next week we'll discuss some of these techniques you can use from the bank, because right now, hauling a boat all the way up there to maybe get into some questionable weather in the winter, you don't want to take a chance with Pyramid Lake. But there can be good fishing off the shore, and sometimes the shore fishermen, in fact, not too long from right now, shore fishermen will be doing a lot better than boat fishermen. And you don't have to be a fly fisherman. We'll discuss next week a few techniques you can use from the bank and cover some water, and I'll tell you, it's very effective. Okay, after the break, we are going to talk to Robbie Dunham, teach you how to catch some trout in Comanche Lake. Welcome back. Well, Robbie Dunham of Koch Machine Guide Service concentrates on Comanche Reservoir this time of year. Comanche is kind of storm-proof. It's got Pardee up above it, plus a very narrow, rocky drainage coming out of the McCallamy River. So there's very few days you can't fish Comanche. Anyway, Robbie had a little trouble keeping the fish he was hooking on, but he figured it out. Listen, Robbie, I know you got out twice this week to Comanche. What's going on up there?
Well, we're still getting limits. They're not easy. You got to move around to find the fish. Most of the fish are being caught out in the open water between the two marinas, rock wall up into the narrows, and Everything seems to be in the top 8-10 feet.
Okay. Now, you fishing speedy shiners or grubs?
Right now, we're fishing both. The reason because the fish are grabbing these grubs right now, and they just will not commit to them. And I run back there and feed them some line, let that grub fall, but they just don't want to come back. And I don't know if they got paper lips, but we're losing quite a bit of fish. But they're actually staying on a little better with the speedy shiner with the faster trolls. So we finished our limits both days on the speedy shiners.
Well, that's good that they'll hit both of them.
Yeah, the water temperature up there was 56.3, so it's really cooled off. So I think that both days, the fish actually were starting to really come on a good bite after 10 o'clock. So I think that water warmed up a little bit with the sun and got them on a bite. And yesterday, we had a 2.5-hour window where you could see your face in the mountain in the water, the kiss of death.
Yeah.
That flat, calm water. And we could not get a bite. I moved, I changed, I did everything I could, but just could not get them to go.
Isn't that something? That Comanche throws little curves at you all the time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I'm just fortunate that I fished that lake so many times over the years and know where I can find some wind sometimes. And as soon as we get into that little chop, man, the bite's back on. So
yeah.
When it's flat, calm, it's tough.
But would you say that the average depth you're fishing with both lures is right around 10 feet deep?
Not even that. Probably 6 to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is in the top 10 feet. I've been running different size bullet weights from a 16th up to a quarter. The quarter one hasn't done very well, but the 3/16th and the 8th has been doing really well.
On the grubs?
Both.
Oh,
the
okay.
Grubs and the speedy shiners,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. So you don't even need a downrigger or lead core.
No, not at all. Everything is really shallow. I mean, just a little bit of weight and get that thing back behind the boat. And I can tell you this, Bob, yesterday and today, the majority of our bites and grabs came on my inline planer boards away from the boat. So I think getting that thing away from the boat is also a big key.
Well, when they're 6 feet deep, you can bet your life it is, huh?
Yes. That's for sure.
So if you don't have a planer board, then, you know, you got to go to maybe the braided line and let out, what, 175, 200 feet of line and make big S turns?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. That's a lot of line. Today wasn't bad for boats, but Thursday we had 15 boats from the mouth of the Narrows all the way up as far as I could see. So there's getting to be quite a few people up there fishing now.
Yeah. What about down by the dam and Hat Island and Little Hat? You were doing pretty good down there.
Yeah, I haven't been down there since that last trip I had with the two guys. I know there's fish down there. I like to go up there in the Narrows and, you know, in front of the rock wall and just kind of get out of the wind. Today was a big key thing because it was blowing 15 to 20 when I got out to the main lake, and it was pretty rough.
So, but you were catching fish in there?
Yeah.
You can catch fish when it's rough on Comanche, you're just not when it's glassy.
Exactly. Exactly right, Bob.
Hey, one last question. Any particular color on the grubs or speedy shiners make a difference?
No, I don't think the speedy shiners, anything that's copper or gold back, I think is going to get fish. The grubs, I've been doing really good with the white, with the orange egg and white with the chartreuse egg. And those have been my two best producers.
That's Robbie Dunham, Coke Machine Guide Service. Here's his number, 209-712-6611. You want to learn how to catch fish out of Comanche, go with Robbie just one time. 209-712-6611. Want to remind you again, this Wednesday could be the biggest day in striped bass fishing importance because the Fish and Game Commission meeting is meeting down at the Resources Building and on whether to relieve stripers of protections for the benefit of the big water agencies. You got to be there if you like striped bass. It's at 1416 9th Street this coming Wednesday at 9:30 in the auditorium. Try to make it, okay? All right. I talked with Zach Miller up at the Fly Shop about what's going on with the Trinity River Steelhead. Zach, the Trinity this year has just been limping along, mainly because it's got very little water. A lot of the guides have gone to rubber rafts because they can't get their drift boats down it.
Yeah.
Then we had the rain last week, but that was a lot of snow, and the river never did come up that much. What's the latest there? Did we get any fish moving because of that last little storm?
A little storm, there's a few fish around. Definitely still lower, though. You know, from Junction City down, a lot of the guys have been finding fish. But still, the upper sections is still a little skinny. Like you said, those all snow. But with this new storm coming in, with hopefully more rain, hopefully it melts some of that snow. So we're expecting a pretty good blowout, which will definitely bring some of those fish up that are waiting to come up from Klamath.
Well, I mean, you know, they have been up in the Klamath pretty good, you know, at Happy Camp big time. And then there has been a couple big schools move up into Syad, and even as far as Hamburg, and, of course, a few fish trickle into the upper river. But, you know, the Trinity, it almost seems like they've been in the canyon because that's where all the water is.
Yep, that's exactly where they're at. Randy, come.
So when that happens, those fish, when they get ahead of water, we know they move. I mean, that's just automatic. So yep. How long does it take them to get from down there, down below Burnt Ranch there, up until, say, to, you know, Del Loma, and then up to Junction City, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, from there, it all depends on how much water you get. You know, if it's a complete blowout where, you know, it spikes 500 CFS, that's, you know, a lot of water for them to move in through. But, you know, if they get a good slug of water and the water stays relatively high, I mean, they can easily push up there. And you know, if they're going to keep moving, which most of them are going to move, you know, nonstop for the most part, I think get up there, you know, at least a day.
Yeah.
But probably quicker than that, honestly, I'm sure they're pretty eager to get up. So
well, you know, when that water's up, those things they're relentless.
Oh yeah, they're just like salmon, man. One thing's fine.
Well, that would be nice if the Trinity really turned on because, like we said, good fishermen can go over there and they get an occasional hookup, but it's nothing to brag about, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's been tough over there. So
yeah.
Far.
So
really tough.
We're going to know more next week at this time, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Monday or Tuesday we'll have a pretty solid idea as to what's going to be happening.
Yeah. That's Zach Miller at the Fly Shop. And, they're probably down in the canyon below Burnt Ranch, and any kind of head of water going to make those steelhead move up. In the meantime, on the Klamath, the fishing is tapered off, but they're still getting 3 to 4 adults and a dozen half-pounders in the Happy Camp area. And this storm is also going to bring some fish up in that area, as well as send the fish there up like towards Syad Valley in Hamburg. So the storms like this get steelhead moving, no doubt about it. Let's just hope it happens to the American River as well, okay? That's it. Have a good week, everyone.